three things I want you to think about right now. First one is, obviously on the theme of Thanksgiving, something within this last week. So something really tangible, recent. This may be a small thing. And the thinking here is that we not take for granted the small things that God does for us on a regular basis. So think about that. Something within the last week that would make you say, yes, I am thankful to God for that. Okay? You've got something. That one was fairly easy. At least I hope it was. Second question, think about the last year. Something that God has done that has been significant for you in the last year. And I want this to be something that God has done. Now, personally, I'm really thankful that we don't have to use the Arrive Can app when we visit our kids in the States, but I'm going to consider that something the Canadian government has done. Something that God has done where you can actually recognize God's hand sovereignly in something for you in your life. Okay? So, something short-term within the last week, something a little longer-term where you see the hand of God sovereignly working. And then the third one would be this, what I asked you to think about during the ACE or with the ACE, and that is there a scripture that that you would think of when it comes to Thanksgiving? There are some psalms that are very much just rich with Thanksgiving, or there are some other passages. This one's a little harder. Unless you actually have already thought about this, it may be difficult for you to actually identify something like that. Okay, now out of those three, which one of those three do you want to share with us this morning? So not do you want to share one of those three, but which one of those three would you like to share with us this morning? I've actually asked Kurt and Dawn whether they would help us out by walking around with microphones, so thank you, gentlemen, for doing that. I'm sorry I have no chocolate bars for the first respondents this morning. I know that's really disappointing. I actually have one on my desk, and I just forgot to bring it, so that's me for you. So let's take some time and encourage one another with words of thanksgiving. And again, the easy ones, something that you're thankful for this week, something in the past year. I want to, so for me, my short term, yesterday we were able to have kind of a Thanksgiving dinner with my mom in Richmond, four generations, my grandkids playing with my mom. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You're just so thankful. Medium term or the long term, this year God's been teaching me a lot about just presence, just daily presence, being aware 1 hour at a time. God, what are you saying to me today? And that has just, it's changed a lot of how I think about ministry and things, which is great. The scripture for me this week I want to put up, and this is not typically a Thanksgiving scripture that I would turn to. It's from Hebrews, but this is what I was drawn to this week. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for or because our God is a consuming fire. And I want to spend a few minutes in this morning, and this will be more meaningful you if you have a Bible, because I'm going to actually just talk through Hebrews chapter 12, because the word therefore means we need a little bit of context here. So if you have a Bible or can look it up online, it's Hebrews chapter 12. But I want to just share a couple of thoughts of this that I think are actually quite important for us right now in our season. The chapter begins with the phrase, or in the first verse, run with endurance. Okay, so you got the theme of endurance there. Verse 2 talks about Jesus who endured the cross. Again, endurance. Verse 3 talks about do not grow weary. Okay, so the theme is now being fleshed out a little bit. Then verse 4 to 10, it actually talks about enduring discipline. that discipline is a good thing, and that the fact that God disciplines his children is actually an expression of love. So again, we endure it, the discipline, not grow weary. Verse 11 says that the discipline actually produces the fruit of righteousness. So there's something good at the end of this hardship. And then I love verse 12. It has this, come on, you guys, let's keep going. It says, so lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. It reminds me of a football coach back when I was in grade 8. You're just exhausted. And he goes, buck up, guys. We're not done yet. Let's keep pushing. You have to endure this. No pain, no gain, that kind of thing. And I think this is the writer of Hebrews' way of saying, don't give up just because it's hard. It is hard, but let's keep going. Then he gives us an object lesson of endurance in verse 16. He says, don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. You remember that story? He's out in the field all day. He's working hard. He's tired. He comes home, and he's hungry. And his wonderful brother decides to say, hey, I'll give you a bowl of soup if you'll give me your birthright. Now, Esau could very easily have said, you know what, I can wait an hour, but I'm hungry right now. And so he trades something of inestimable value, the blessing and the inheritance of God, for some kind of immediate gratification. And so the writer's saying, don't be like Esau. Don't give up something that's really important for something that is just so momentary. So there's the object lesson, and then he gives a history lesson after the object lesson. The history lesson starts in verse 18. It says, you have not come to what may be touched. You can't touch this. A blazing fire, a darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words make the hearers basically make that voice stop, just begging the voice to stop. And if you don't recognize that, that's the story of Moses and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. Moses was going up on the mountain, and God said to the people, do not touch the mountain. And there was the fire, and there was the tempest, and there was the sound of the trumpet, and there was the voice of God that just scared the bejeebies out of the people, and they say, please, God, stop talking to us. And so what he's saying is, you have not come to that mountain that can be touched. It's not a physical mountain you've come to. It's not Israel at Mount Sinai. Verse 22 says, you have come to a different mountain. You've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Notice it's not the Jerusalem that's in Israel. This is the heavenly Jerusalem with innumerable angels in festal gathering. So you're coming to this spiritual mountain of God where the angels are gathering together in worship, in festal gathering. And God is speaking to you from that mountain in a similar way that God spoke to Moses and the people on the mountain that can be touched, okay? And verse 25 says, so do not refuse him who is speaking to you. Do not refuse him. Verse 26 says that at that time, talking about Mount Sinai, talking about Moses, it says at that time his voice shook the earth, literally, right? The people were afraid. There was the tempest. There was like an earthquake and the sound of the trumpet. It was just an amazing experience. So at that time, his voice shook the earth. The second half of that verse quotes from the prophet Haggai. And the prophet Haggai said this, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. You see what he's doing with that quote? We've got the mountain of Sinai that can be shaken, and now you've got the mountain of God in heaven, the spiritual mountain, and he's drawing them together. I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Why? Verse 27 says, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. That's really important. There is this literal shaking of the earth at Mount Sinai. There is this spiritual shaking of the heavens to sift out all that is not of the kingdom of God, so that only the unshakable things may remain. And that leads us to our verse. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, if you follow the logic here, it's a kingdom that is not of this earth. It's a kingdom that is not of this earth. Friends, the world is being shaken right now in so many ways. There's so much instability right now. And so many of the things that we have come to depend on, they're beginning to crumble. Some of the systems that we rely on are not being able to stand up to what's going on. And the world is not, the physical world cannot stand up to the challenge of the shaking of the world. And Hebrews 12 tells us, number one, endure it. And secondly, number two, this is the discipline of God. This is the hand of God who is shaking the earth. And during that time of shaking, run with endurance. Do not grow weary. Pick up your weary hands and your weak knees and don't give up in the midst of this. And do not, like Esau, settle for some kind of short-term solution, some kind of short-term comfort. You know this to be true, but we respond to hardship and suffering according to our understanding of the world. How does the world work? And our understanding of how the world works shapes how we respond to the hardships that take place in the world. And if we expect this world to be easy, always everything's going our way. Always the blessing of God is on Christians because we are His kingdom people. We are His kingdom people, but this world is not the kingdom of God. But if we expect that in this world everything will go well, if we expect the prosperity of God and the healing of God in every situation, we're going to get frustrated with God because that kind of thinking does not line up with the Scripture. But if you expect the world to actually be a broken place, even crumbling at times, a world that requires endurance because it's hard, and sometimes even suffering, that worldview is much more consistent with what the Scripture teaches. And so, like Jesus, for the joy that's set before you, which is not in this world, you can actually endure the pain like Jesus endured the cross in verse 2. That's where this whole chapter began. That's a biblical worldview, that Jesus endured the cross because there was something greater. He's now seated at the right hand of God on a mountain that you cannot touch. And so our verse says, therefore, let us be grateful receiving a kingdom that cannot be made shaken. It makes so much sense. The second thing it says is, and thus, let us offer acceptable worship. What's acceptable worship? Well, in the context of this chapter, acceptable worship is worship in the midst of hardship. It's worship during the suffering. It's worship that does not rely on the comforts of this world, which, like a bowl of soup, are so temporary. Worship that actually requires endurance of discipline. It's different from worshiping God for the things that can be shaken. Now, I want to pause here and just say, there are so many things that can be shaken in this world that we do receive as blessings, and this display is a reminder of that. We should be thankful for those things. But when they are taken away, should we stop worshiping God because those things have been taken away? Our thanks is not dependent on these things. Take them away, and we remain a thankful people. That's acceptable worship. Why is this so important? The third line in the Scripture, because God is a consuming fire. Now, we prefer not to dwell on this aspect of God's character and His nature. we much more on Thanksgiving Sunday would want to talk about God as the provider, God as the healer, God as the protector, and absolutely true, we should give thanks for all those things. But how often have you stopped to think about God as a consuming fire, and that has led you to thanksgiving and worship? It seems a little bit counterintuitive. You see, God will judge the world, and that is a good thing. His judgment will sift what is weak and crumbling in this world. And it will, in the end, reveal things that cannot be shaken. And that's a good thing. And so we're reminded that God is a consuming fire, and that thought actually leads us to acceptable worship of God. This is not easy, but it is right. It is right that God shakes the foundation of the earth. It is right that God reminds us of things that are more important. It's even right when that reminder causes hardship for us. Because God's kingdom is not comprised only of the good things in this world. And if we forget that, then it is right that God shakes things up to remind us. And all the material things of this world, just like the rain, the scripture says, fall on the just and the unjust. Just because you receive the blessings of God and the many blessings of God, that is not the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Many sinful people have more than we have. And it is good that we remember that the kingdom of God is not found in these things. So why bring this up on Thanksgiving of all times? I am just becoming more and more aware that this world is being shaken, and that the things that you and I are experiencing are getting harder. Joanne, it's harder to be a teacher today than it was a couple of years ago. And for those of you in the healthcare system, it's harder. The demands are incredible. And going to the grocery store, making decisions that you didn't have to make just a few years ago, it's harder. Or having to decide, can I even afford a full tank of gas right now, or do I just put a little bit in? It's harder. Think globally for a moment, because the scripture speaks to all the earth. Think globally of our world that's being shaken. How many millions of refugees coming out of Ukraine have nothing material to be thankful for anymore? Should they stop being thankful? Is the kingdom of God not real? The floods in Pakistan, the droughts in Eastern Africa, the east coast of Canada, Florida. Globally, the things that are happening, if we depend on our material possessions as the manifestation of the kingdom of God, we will be disappointed. When you can't get a doctor's appointment, or when the specialist appointment is more than a year away, when hurricane winds in eastern Canada literally shake the coast and the houses crumble, can we endure and not grow weary? Can we be thankful for a kingdom that cannot be shaken? And I suspect that the hard things that are going on in our world right now, they're not just going to stop. And that for us to remain as God's kingdom people, we need to think beyond those material things that we have. Am I thankful for my warm home and a meal with my family yesterday? Absolutely. If God takes them away for some reason, is he not faithful? No, he's still faithful. That God is still faithful in the midst of all this. I want you to think about one more thing to be thankful for this morning. Is there something for you that's hard right now? Where you might even be tempted to be a little bit frustrated with God. Why would you let this happen? Why would you allow this to happen, whether it's a sickness or whether it's a material loss of some kind? Can you, in the midst of what's hard, bring your attention to a kingdom that cannot be shaken? Can you allow your worship to actually flourish, to bring what the writer says is actually acceptable worship? This is acceptable worship, that in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your loss, you would lift up the glory of God. I'm going to just give you a moment, just silently. Would you give thanks, not for that circumstance, but that despite that circumstance, you're able to give thanks to God today? Take a moment silently. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and prepare to lead us in a closing song, but let's take a silent moment of prayer first. Father, this morning we want to give you thanks for all the material things that you have blessed us with. Generosity to have food on the table and a warm home and family. We are so rich. We see your hand of blessing on our lives. And yet, God, at the same time, recognize that these things are not the material of the kingdom of God, that these things can be lost and your kingdom is still viable. And so, Father, we thank you also this morning for all these things that can be taken away. They can be shaken. And that you are worthy of our worship and praise because of what the writer calls a kingdom that cannot be shaken, where multitudes of angels are gathering in festive procession, that they're worshiping you because of the kingdom of God. God, strengthen us for this. As the writer says, that we would not grow weary. He says it because it's really easy to grow weary. And so we pray that by your strength, we would remain faithful to give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Friends, we are a kingdom people, and this is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But until the final kingdom of God comes, let's enjoy the fruits of what God gives us in this world. They are good gifts from him. This isn't why we give thanks. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. Let's be his kingdom people with hope when this world is shaken. Amen.